eternity with Jesus. I don't know if y'all noticed, it looked like Kate was singing with a little extra skip in her step there this morning. Anybody know that? Yeah, boy, I tell you. You know, when they was little girls, they used to tell me, I remember Brooke wanted to marry me one time, and Caitlin, they told, Caitlin promised me she'd never leave me. And I told her to never threaten me like that. But anyhow, she, and now I want to go back and take back all that stuff. Amen. No, I'm grateful. I love my girls and grateful for how God's working in their life, even at a season that's not my favorite, but, you know, it's part of it. And I'm grateful for how God's working, and I appreciate y'all's prayers for us. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13 is where we'll begin reading here in just a moment. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13, as we conclude chapter 3 today, talking about the subject of living with power when the pressure is on. You remember last week we got to a certain point here, verse 12, and talked about the first section of that, and we'll finish it today. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13, if you found your place physically able, stand with me in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. Here's what the Bible says. It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?' Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. That is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up.' And Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them in the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray you'd add your blessing to the reading of your word. I pray, God, you'd be glorified today through the preaching of the word. And I pray, God, you help me to make this truth known and that lives would be changed as a result of being under the gospel today. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Living with power when the pressure is on. As we began our study of chapter 3, we had fast forwarded 20 years from the events of the end of chapter 2. You'll remember from last week in the first 12 verses that Nebuchadnezzar had an image of gold, 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, that he had erected in the plain of Dura, just south of Babylon, a place that would be visible from the town there, so that they would see this image wherever they were. This image was one that would be worshipped by all the people of Babylon at the command of Nebuchadnezzar. When the musical instruments began to play, all the people of Babylon, the natives and also those in captivity from foreign lands, were required to fall down and worship the golden image. It wasn't a suggestion, it was a requirement. He had made a decree, and when kings made a decree, it could not be altered at that point. Anyone who refused to do so, according to verse 6, would be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And I would remind you that a key word in that verse is the word immediately. Each time that the music began, you'll remember everyone would bow before this golden image except for three Hebrew young men who named in the text Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You'll remember that's their Babylonian names. You'll remember that Nebuchadnezzar sought to change their diet. He sought to change their name, their devotion. But regardless of what he did on the outside, it did not affect who they were on the inside. These boys were Daniel's closest companions, and the Chaldeans who were present there in Babylon were the very first to notice that these Hebrew men were not obeying the command. They were not being compliant with what Nebuchadnezzar set up. So they went before the king, and as most folks do, they reminded him of this decree that he had made. And they wanted to report to him on the disobedience of these Hebrew children. Well, with that being said, they told Nebuchadnezzar, said, listen, from the text, these men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. See, it's important to recognize the report of the Chaldeans had very little, if anything, to do with their allegiance to Nebuchadnezzar. It wasn't about them being allegiant to Nebuchadnezzar at all. It had very little to do with that. It had much more to do with the fact that they were intensely jealous of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were jealous of them due to the promotion that they had received after Daniel gave interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. You'll remember that Daniel was promoted, and he petitioned the king on behalf of his friends that they might also receive the promotion. See, the revelation of these Hebrew boys' disobedience, it caused quite a stir in the heart of the king, but ultimately it caused an even greater stirring among the people of Babylon. So as we move into this latter half of the chapter, chapter 3, there are some areas of interest that I believe are very important to you and I, that I believe we can find and lift from the text today that can help us be able to do as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that is still live with power when the pressure is on. First thing I want you to notice today as we talk about that is the text talks to us about Nebuchadnezzar's rage. He was filled with rage according to what the scriptures taught us. And because of this, he had a couple of questions for the Hebrew boys. The first question he had for them was a question of validation. You'll find that right there in the beginning part. Excuse me, I believe it is verse 14. He said to them this, Nebuchadnezzar said to them after he received the report, he said this, is it true? And he called them by name, meaning he had a personal relationship with them. Remember, they've been serving 20 years. He called them by name and he said, is it true that you do not serve my gods nor worship the gold image that I have set up? Now, you and I as followers of Jesus Christ here in the year 2020, we can be rather impressed with the allegiance that these men had to the one true God. We can be impressed by their convictions. We can look at that and say, wow, what courage it took to stand for them. I read a while back, and a lot of people have a lot of definitions of courage. And one of my favorites by the great theologian John Wayne. Y'all ever heard of him? The Duke? Yeah. He said this. He said, courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyhow. Amen? Now, I'm sure these boys were human. They had some fear within them. But they were trusting the God who had brought them from Judah, their homeland, allowed them to go into captivity in Babylon, who had kept them safe thus far, allowed them to rise to positions of prominence, even promoted above people from the homeland. They were trusting this God to be true to them. See, you and I can be very much impressed by their conviction, but Nebuchadnezzar was one who was very unimpressed, and he wasn't very excited at all. The Bible said he was pretty upset. So he asked the question, is it true? See, for some reason, he gave them a second chance. Now, you'll remember from verse 6, his decree was that if anyone did not do as he said, that they would immediately be put in the burning fiery furnace. But he gives them a second chance to bow before they burn. Well, why would he do that? And there may be several reasons, but there's a couple we can probably surmise from the text, is that maybe it's because that over 20 years of time, and over the time that they'd been serving alongside Daniel and alongside the king and all the others in places of prominence, it could be that they had gained favor with Nebuchadnezzar. It could be that he had grown rather fond of them, and he just thought maybe they misunderstood. But they didn't misunderstand, because they were intelligent and all that kind of stuff. If you'll remember, they were found to be 10 times better than any of the boys from the homeland. Could it be that they had gained favor? But it also could be that Nebuchadnezzar was aware of the jealousy that existed between the Chaldeans, who had been overlooked, if you will. They hadn't been overlooked, but they might have said they were. You see this. It's in our workplaces. It's in our churches. It's in all kinds of places. People get jealous for all the wrong reasons. I may have told y'all years back now. I don't know. I've been here a while but I mean, I can remember from my history that I can remember a time when I served in a church that the prior people before me had allowed the choir members to make a list of their songs. And they were songs that only that particular choir member could sing the solo on. So everybody had their song list. And then all of a sudden, the church begins to grow and begins to go, and other people sing their songs. So they get upset. And they come and say, oh, we've got our list. Nobody can sing our songs. In which I have to remind people that they're not your songs. Amen? First of all, last time I checked, they all belong to God. Amen? So, but people get jealous, and I've always told my girls, and you know, and with my girls, I've never pushed my girls to do anything. I've never said, you got to sing because you're the preacher's daughter. I've never said, you got to do any of that. That's been their thing. That's been what they want to do. It's not what I've not even put any pressure whatsoever. But I've told them, whatever you do with a humble spirit, and when other people excel, you applaud them. Amen? When others do well, you be happy for them. You give God glory for using them. Don't ever get to thinking that it's all about you, because God can take the hand of blessing off the minute you start thinking it's all about you. Amen? So here's what's happening. These people were just expressing jealousy, if you will, and Nebuchadnezzar could have been very well aware of that, because I'm sure there was some talk around Babylon about these old boys that had been exalted and put in places of prominence, and Nebuchadnezzar put them above us, and we're home folk. Wow. A question of validation. Is it true that you're not going to bow? Here's the other question. There was also a question of vindication. Not only did he ask, is it true that you will not bow, but here's the vindication. Who do you think's going to deliver you? Who's going to deliver you from my order? Who is going to override my decree? Who will deliver you from the fiery furnace? See, Nebuchadnezzar had exalted himself far beyond any other power, remember? He's a big military guy. He's never lost a battle. And he was confident that his authority was supreme. But you know what Nebuchadnezzar did? He did what a lot of us do. He forgot what he had already been told. It had been a while, and he had forgotten about it. And he was living as though Daniel had never given him the interpretation in the first place. If you'll remember, 20 years prior, Daniel gives him the interpretation to the dream. Now, you'll remember one day when Nebuchadnezzar was looking for an interpretation, he called all of his magicians, all of his astrologers, all of his soothsayers, all of his smart people. He brought all the intelligent people. Nobody could do it. And then they go get Daniel, and Daniel comes back and says, I'll tell you what, there's not anybody under heaven that can give us the answer to this. You're going to have to give me a little time, but I want you to know there is a God in heaven who does have the answer. So he went and got with his companions. Him and his companions got with God. God gave them the interpretation. They worshiped God. They go to the king. Say, here's what he said. God said this. God said that you've got a great kingdom, but guess what's going to happen? You're not going to last forever, and one day somebody's going to come in here and whip you. Somebody's going to overtake your kingdom, and you know what's going to happen? They're going to reign for a little while, and somebody's going to rise up with them. And there's another one going to reign for a while, somebody's going to whip them. And there's going to be several kingdoms that go for a while and look strong, and then they crumble. But listen, in the end, God is going to put a kingdom up on this earth of which there shall be no end. He had forgotten that he was going to fall. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. one of the most dangerous things we can ever do as a follower of Jesus Christ is to think that we're too tall to fall. The Bible tells this, when you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Nebuchadnezzar was a very, very prideful man, and I believe that with all of my heart. See, Daniel understood this. He said, there is a God in heaven. We must acknowledge him because without him we have no revelation. See, people today may not acknowledge the God of heaven, but listen, that does not stop the fact that there is a God in heaven who is involved in the lives of his children. Nebuchadnezzar had a lot of rage going on. He had two questions. He had a question of validation. Is it true? He had a question of vindication. Who's going to deliver you? This rage is about to get him in trouble. Not only do we read about rage, but we also read about a reaction in verse 16 and following. We read about a reaction that took place to the words that Nebuchadnezzar spoke to these three Hebrew young men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered him in verse 16 and said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. No need to answer you in this matter. Do you think for a minute that this was probably not the reaction that Nebuchadnezzar was expecting? He was probably expecting compliance. He was probably expecting them to say, golly, Sergeant Carter, we just made a mistake. We messed up. We are so sorry. These kids looking like, who is Sergeant Carter? I'll ask you, Grandma. But anyhow, nevertheless, I mean, he was expecting them to say, ooh, we've made a terrible mistake here. But instead, the response he got and the reaction he received, listen, these boys speaking in unison. I don't know which one of them was the spokesperson, but regardless, it may have been Shadrach because he was mentioned first. I don't know, but regardless of whether they're speaking in unison or whether one is speaking for them, the fact that they are all listed lets us know that they were unified in heart and purpose and that they were not backing up. And he said, we don't even have any need to answer you, so what is the reaction? Well, the first reaction was this, even though they were facing the furnace, they remained faithful. They were facing the furnace, yet they were faithful. I was telling in the early service today that a wise preacher told me once that the only way you can test the strength of a tea bag is to put it in hot water. And I found it to be true. You know how it goes. This probably happened, used to happen to me. You know, you boil your water, you put your tea bags in there and the water boils, and when you take them out, they all look the same. They all seem to have the same structural integrity. They all seem to be sewed the same way, look the same way, the little tag on it. But there's always that possibility that at some point one of those bags is not as strong as the other, and the only way you can tell the strength of that bag is let that water boil for a little bit. And sometimes people are the same way. We don't know the strength and integrity of people until they're placed in hot water. We don't know that until we see that take place in front of us. See, here's what happened with these guys. These guys placed themselves in the hand of God. I've always told my children this. Girls, the safest place on earth for any of God's children, which includes you, me, and any of God's children, is in the will of God. Because if you are a child of God out of the will of God, that's not good. But if you are a child of God in the will of God, regardless of where you are, where life takes you, you will be in the safest place under heaven because you are in the hand and the will of God. You're in the hand of God by salvation, and you're in the will of God by your surrender. Very important we do that. Here in the Old Testament, we see three young men who give us a living example of that. These three young men, they say, listen, we're just going to put ourselves in the hands of God. You can let the water boil around us. You can let everything rage around us. But we are going to stay in the will of God because we have found that in his hands and in his will is the safest place for us. See, the test of their commitment to God was found in the fact that they would not allow anyone or anything to be used to replace their allegiance to God. Nothing. Very important that we learn that, not even as older folks, but we learn that stuff as younger people, because here's what society will do. Society and the evil world system will find anything and everything they can to get our attention away from God and get it on other things. Because if that can happen, and we quit following the Word of God and the will of God, then we won't find ourselves being true and faithful to God when the furnace rages. There's a second thing to notice about these boys. Not only were they facing the furnace but faithful, but they were resistant but resilient. Did you see that in verse 19 and 20? Oh, it's very clear. It said Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. The expression on his face changed. Look here. He done got so mad, his countenance has changed. And it's changed toward these three young men who have been closely with him for 20 years. He spoke and he commanded. He said, boys, I don't think that fire's hot enough. These boys have made me so mad. I want it heated up seven times hotter than we normally heat it. And then you know what I want you to do? I want you to go get my best men, my mighty men of valor. Now, that's a tag that's not given lightly in Scripture. I want you to give me mighty men of valor. And I want you to get those guys from the army. And I want them to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I want them to be cast into the burning fiery furnace. Now, look what happened there. Even though they were resistant, and thank God they were, there's some things you've got to resist in this world. The Bible talks about in the book of James. The Bible says, the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7, says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, here's the key. Some people try to resist without submitting. They want to resist the devil, but they've never submitted to God. You can't get this out of order. You've got to get it in its proper order. You submit yourself to God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The only way that we have the power to resist is found in our willingness and obedience to submit, to put ourselves under his authority. See, these guys knew something. They weren't placing themselves under Nebuchadnezzar's authority because his authority was limited. They were putting themselves under the authority of the God who allowed them to be put in exile in Babylon, who had kept them safe thus far, and they knew that the same God who had kept them safe thus far had the ability to keep them safe from now on. Wow. They kept going because they refused to quit. Notice with me something else. Not only were they resistant and resilient, but they were bound. They weren't burning. Verse 21 said they'd been cast in, but look what happened. They bound them, cast them in the fire, and because the king's command was urgent, look here, verse 22, he got in a hurry. Oh my, how many times do we get ahead of ourselves? And how many times do we get ahead of God? We get in a big old hurry because we think activity translates into godliness. Boy, I've learned this so much over the years. I've learned that just because you're busy doesn't mean you're faithful. Just because you've got activity doesn't mean you're accomplishing kingdom advancement. Here's what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. He got in such a hurry. He got in a fury. He got in an urgent mode. And the furnace was exceedingly hot that the flame of the fire kindled killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look here. We was talking about this in the back in between services. Nebuchadnezzar sacrificed some of his best men because he got in a hurry and he got mad. Wow. Some of his best men. But we'll find out in a minute here, though, the best men were the ones that went in the fire anyhow. Amen? But nevertheless, sometimes we do that. We get in such a hurry and such a fury, and we don't take time to get looking here, but we just got to realize that that can get us in a big old mess. Oh, they were bound, but they weren't burning. It's like an illustration I learned from Tony Evans a while back. He talked about umbrellas, and I told him in the first service, my girls are in this service. I want to go ahead and tell on myself so somebody will tell you later. I'm not an umbrella person. My girls love umbrellas. I mean, if there's a hint of a cloud, they're going to look in the car before we go anywhere, Marty, and say, hey, is there an umbrella in here? Where's my umbrella? I don't need it in the trunk. I need it up here where I can grab it because I can't get one drop of rain on my head or I will melt. Okay? Yeah. And they will melt. They're so sweet, okay? Will melt. I'm not an umbrella person because, you know, what does it take? I'm good, right? I'm back. I just shake the water off like a dog, and I'm good to go, right? Girls can't do that. I've learned a lot of things. I have matured greatly over the years. I've learned I don't get to ride in the truck with my windows down unless I'm by myself, okay? So anyhow, I'm learning to conform, if you will. Maybe it's I hope it's maturing. I don't know. But nevertheless, they're umbrella people. But here's something about an umbrella. An umbrella serves a really good purpose. An umbrella has the ability to keep you from getting wet in a storm and all that kind of stuff. But here's something we need to know about umbrellas. You can have 5 umbrellas. You can have 50. You can have 100. You can just have one. And let's go back to one. Say you've got one umbrella and you get out of your car in a rainstorm. And it's raining pretty hard. And you get out and you pop up the umbrella. Now, by you opening the umbrella, it does not stop the rain from falling. Did y'all know that? The rain is still falling. But what it does is it keeps you from getting wet. Pretty good, right? The same is true when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ in the year 2020. Me being a follower of Jesus Christ has not kept pandemic from raging in this country. Me being a follower of Jesus Christ has not stopped evil from taking place all around me. But when I walk under His covering, even though it's raining all around me, the rain ain't falling on me. Are you with me? It doesn't keep the storm from being present. It just gives us a place of safety in the midst of the storm. That was worth your trip today, amen? It gives you some safety while you're traveling through the storm. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that's exactly what God did for these boys right here. It doesn't stop the storm. It just stops the storm from getting on you. Look here. These boys knew this. They had no hope unless God intervened. No hope unless God intervened. Then notice another thought with me. They'd been abandoned. They weren't alone. You ever felt abandoned? Sure, yeah. But they weren't alone. Look at verse 24 and 25. This is probably my favorite two verses of this whole passage. Then Nebuchadnezzar. Think about it now. Here he is. He's hotshot, Marty. Marty's got his smartphone. He's taking notes. All right. Okay. All right. Yeah. He's a hot shot. He's going to show these boys, and he's going to send a message to everybody in Babylon. You mess with me, you become a crispy critter, okay? Mess with me, you're done, okay? I'm sending a message. I'm Nebuchadnezzar. I'm the big shot. I put out a decree. I've been challenged of whether I meant what I said. I even gave these boys a second chance. They still didn't take it, and they defied me. Verse 24 says, he was astonished. Wait a minute. You mean something's about to happen that even astonishes the king? Oh, yes. And he arose in haste, and he spoke, saying to the counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king, awake. Then he says, look, exclamation point. That means with feeling. That means with some urgency. He says, look, I see 4 men loose. He said, I see 4 men loose. And they're walking. Wait a minute, we bound them. There were 3 and they were bound. The fire's already killed my mighty men of valor, my men of the army. It's killed some of my best guys. But they're walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. Oh, this is my favorite part right here. This is shouting ground. I don't care if you're a Butterbean Presbyterian. This is shouting ground right here. Listen here. And the 4th is like the Son of God. They had been abandoned by their peers. The Chaldeans had told on them and turned on them. Kind of like when you're in elementary school and teacher goes out of the room, says they finds the most perfect little girl in class and lets them take names, right? The Chaldeans were over there taking names. And they wrote down Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bad, bad boys. They had been abandoned by people around them. They had been abandoned by the king that they had served for 20 years. But even though they had been abandoned, they were far from alone. And here's a good word for the church today and something we don't need to miss. We don't need to miss the fact that there will be times in our pilgrimage with the Lord that we're going to feel like we are all by ourselves. We are going to feel like nobody cares. We are going to feel like that we have been abandoned maybe by even those closest to us. But can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that regardless of where you are, regardless of what's going around you, if you are a child of God, then you are never, ever alone. I have to be careful sometimes because of my experience. Being a pastor, as long as I've been a pastor, you won't believe this. I've been betrayed. I've been lied about, lied to, everything under the sun. I've had people make up some of the craziest stuff and pass it off as truth. I've had all kinds of stuff, and even by people that I thought were close to me. You know what? Sometimes it causes me to be a little careful and even a little resistant about letting some people get too close to me because I'm thinking, who's next? You know, it's my human thing comes out. Marty does. You know what? I have to guard my heart against that because that's not what I need to do. And God has really worked in my life, and He's helped me to not be so guarded sometimes. But listen, one thing you and I need to understand is regardless of the hurt or whatever betrayal we've had in the past, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, everybody else might have walked out, but He is still there with you. He said, look, can you imagine old Nebuchadnezzar? He looks in there and he goes, wait a minute. Y'all threw three men in there. What are they doing? We put them in there bound. They're walking around. And now I count one, two, three, four. And the fourth one, man, he looks like the Son of God. Woo! I'm grateful to God that even when we're abandoned, not alone. Notice something else with me, if you will. Not just rage, reaction, but we got to talk about the results, don't we? We got to have some results. We got to see what happened. What was the effects and what happened as a result of this event? Well, look with me, if you will, verse 26. Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the fiery burning furnace, and he spoke. Wait a minute. Okay. Get in the story, guys. Get in the picture. He walks over there, and what does he do? He calls them by name. And when he calls them by name, he refers to them as servants of the Most High God. Wait a minute. Somebody's got their attention. Amen? He says, wait a minute. You're servants of the Most High God. Come out. Come here. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. Wow. What was the results? Well, the first result was there was a notable deliverance. So look here. Somebody got somebody's attention. You know what happened here? All of heaven put together a divine rescue package. I learned this years ago from a military standpoint. I heard a preacher talking about this years ago. That the moment one of our pilots or one of our soldiers, a part of one of our special ops team, is captured, there is a mighty rescue package that is put in place. There are resources that are assembled. There are planes, there are helicopters, there are tanks, there are all sorts of things that are put in place to help put together a plan to rescue that pilot or that soldier who has been taken as a prisoner of war. No expense is spared, no resources put to the side, because they know that rescuing that warrior, rescuing that pilot is of supreme importance. Can I say to you right here in the book of Daniel chapter 3, we see the same thing happening. We see where heaven itself had a rescue package already in place before the fire ever started burning. Heaven itself had a rescue package in place that before they ever went bound in there, I just got to believe that fourth man was in there waiting on them. And because of that, ladies and gentlemen, that divine rescue package was put in place to the point that when those boys came into that fire, it's almost like they were enveloped by the grace of Almighty God. It's almost as much as they went in bound that the only thing that came off of them was the bindings, and they were loose walking around. It's amazing how God did that. And you say, how could these boys do that? How could they stand at the mouth of a burning fiery furnace and still remain true to God, knowing that their life was about to be over? I'll tell you how. It's because they settled it a long time in the past. See, if you're not careful, here's what happens. You don't settle your convictions and the decisions you're going to make when you're put to the test now. Then when you're put to the test in the future, you try to make that decision later, you can make the wrong one. But they made the right one because they made that decision long before they were ever promoted. Tell them to keep the beans hot. I'll be there in a few minutes, okay? They made that decision long before they ever got near a fiery furnace. They made that decision long before they ever had to be put in that position. So when they were put in that position, they said, hey, we don't even have to answer you because here's what we know. God is able. And he can deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. Now listen, here's the good news. These boys knew this. One of two things was about to happen. Either they were about to experience a divine miracle from heaven, or they were about to go see God face to face. Wow. Oh, me. I used to hear the stories of those missionaries that gave their life for the gospel's sake. One said to him, and right before he was about to be executed, said, got anything left to say? He said, no. He said, this is all I got left to say. You're about to take a life away from me I can't keep, and you're about to bestow a life upon me I do not deserve. Wow. That's what they did. They determined in the past how they were going to handle it in the present. It's also something else. Notice verse 28, there was a quite noble decision. Listen to what Nebuchadnezzar said. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, and he said this, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Blessed be this God, because he sent his angel, and he delivered his servants who trusted him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own. You know what happened? They experienced the praise of God in a way like they never thought possible. Notice what happened there in verses 29 and 30. He makes a national decree when he says this. Wait a minute. He'd already made a decree that says, everybody's going to burn it, don't bow. But wait, we got a new one. We got a new one. He says in verse 29, he says, therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language that speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Wow, did you see that? Just a little while earlier, he was making a decree to kill anybody that didn't bow down to him. Now he's saying if anybody does not acknowledge the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the one true God, he said, we're going to cut you up and we're going to burn your house down. Your house is going to be an ash heap and you're going to be done. We are not messing around because this God has gotten our attention. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Wait a minute. A minute ago they were about to perish and now they're being promoted. Here's something we need to understand. Faithfulness by God's people in an evil environment makes a difference. Let me leave you with this today. In this culture and in this environment, whether it's the political ramblings, whether it's the social problems, whether it's economic issues, whatever's going around us, sometimes it can be mind-boggling to even begin to come to grips. We got a lot of stuff coming up here now, okay? We're coming to the end of summer. School is scheduled to start August 13th. There's a lot of things going between now and then. You know what? We're all nervous. Can anybody just be honest and say, I get a little nervous sometimes? Your pastor's got both hands. You get a little nervous sometimes. It's okay. You don't. I mean, if you don't get nervous, God bless you. But I do sometimes. Get a little nervous wondering because my family's going back into schools. Your family is. Your students. Your teachers. My daughter's going back to college, and God knows what's going on over there. You know, it's an evil environment. A lot of unrest. But we read in this book where God's people made a difference even when it was pretty uncertain around them. You know, I was telling a friend of mine this week, even this morning. I've said it several times. There's a lot of stuff we don't know what to believe. You read one report tells you this. You read another specialist tells you that. You read another really smart person tells you something in the middle. You know, you're trying to be informed. And as a shepherd, I want to be really informed so I can help y'all the best I can. But here's the difference. We don't have anything we can trust to be 100% truth in this world except this book. So why do I not spend a lot of time arguing over political stuff? Why do I not, you know, jump on these bandwagons and all that kind of stuff? I'll tell you why. Because I'm afraid a lot of people are jumping on bandwagons and going on rants that they don't even know if what they're talking about is true. And they're talking as though they have an authoritative opinion on something they really don't even know what they're talking about. So I don't get involved in that. But here's what I do get involved in. There's authority in this book. There's so much authority in the name of the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the one true God, that they were willing to face a fiery furnace. Now, once again, let me remind you, in our culture today, when you're being asked to wear a mask in public, that is not even comparable to what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were dealing with. So don't get caught up in that. If we are ever forced to make the decision that they had to make, I pray we make the one they made. Because here's what God did for me when he saved me. He gave me amazing grace, unconditional love that I do not deserve and I can't get over. Here's what he did when he called me to preach. He put the preach in me. Y'all know what I mean by that? He put the preach in me. And he put a burning word in, like fire in my bones, that Jeremiah said, and I can't be quiet about it. Jeremiah, if you remember, he got ticked off. He got mad, and he was telling God, I'm not even going to tell nobody else. Don't do no good. Don't nobody listen. And you let them off the hook all the time. I'll quit. He couldn't quit. God put the preach in him. He called him to be a prophet. When God's called you to do something, you got to do it. So whether that's from a pulpit publicly, whether that's by way of technology, or even if they closed the doors and said you can't come in ever again, whether that's on a street corner on a hickory stump, this word's going to keep going out. And the Church of Jesus Christ will never, ever, ever, ever fall. Individual congregations may crumble or something like that. I don't know. But I know the Church of Jesus Christ will always stand. You know why? Because it's built on him. And that one, he is a sure foundation. Why don't you pray with me? Father, I'm so grateful for your word. I'm so grateful for truth. I'm grateful, Father, that when I get uneasy about the world around me, I can always remember that there is truth and comfort found in the pages of your word. There's truth and comfort found in the indwelling power and presence of the Holy Spirit. I can trust your word to be true and nothing else is. And Father, these are difficult days we're living in. And these are hard times in a lot of ways. They're working on people spiritually, physically, emotionally, psychologically. People are struggling. But Father, I realize that even though that's a reality, that you've not surrendered your lordship, you've not surrendered your authority, and we can trust you to be faithful at all times. Father, I don't know what the days ahead hold, but I know you hold the days ahead. I don't know what's on the horizon. I don't know what challenges are out there yet to be discovered. But Father, I am convinced, persuaded to believe that whatever comes by your grace, you will give us grace all the way home. Father, I love these people. And I know you love them even more than I do. God, I want to help them walk with you in this time and in every time. And I want to be faithful to the very finish. Give us people in this generation who will keep the main thing the main thing, who will focus on finishing well, who will not get caught up in all the political ramblings and wranglings and all of the things that divide us, but who will stick to truth, who will trust you in all things, and who will be a light to a very dark world. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, I want you to look this way before we dismiss. A couple things. Don't forget to stay up with us. Yeah, I think you can fix your stuff where you can get alerts when we put out videos and all that kind of stuff. I used to have a minister of music that when smartphones were kind of just getting going, he had an alert that went off every time he got any kind of notification from any social media, email, text. His phone was dinging all the time. I said, can you do something with that? But anyhow, you may not want to do that, and we're dinging all the time. But you do want, I want you to keep up with us because we'll be doing video updates as things change. And here's the thing, guys. Things can change rapidly on us, okay? We have a plan right now to continue as we are. This mask ordinance is through the end of the month. That could be extended and very possibly will be, depending upon the rate of infection and all that kind of stuff. Things could change even more drastically. I don't know. But I've learned to not be surprised at anything. I've learned to not make too long-range plans. I had a friend ask me this week, said, a pastor friend said, Brent, you think this will probably be this way through the end of the year? And I said, quite possibly, maybe longer. I don't know, but I've learned to just not be surprised at anything. There's a lot of plans in place, you know, for school and church. That could change. We don't know what's out there. We just need to be praying for the people making these decisions. And listen, please, I am not ashamed to ask you to pray for me. I need you to do that, okay? I really do. I desire it so much. It means so much to me that you would take time to do that. And I need that because I need wisdom from God, prayers of God's people, because leading through this, it's kind of like the video of the bus turning around and bouncing around. This has been the most bouncy thing ever, and I want to make every decision with keeping God, glorifying God, and providing care and leadership for his people. So remember that as we make decisions, everything is, that's our criteria. So as you go out this week, remember, things may change. We'll stay in touch with you. Anytime there's an update, we'll post a video. I'll definitely be with you on Wednesday night, 6:30 for our midweek online. As of right now, this first phase was supposed to go through the end of the month. It's probably going to be for longer, for 8:30 and 10:30, and that'll be the all of our gatherings in person. Please keep up with your Sunday school class online. The guys are doing a great job, great job. So thankful for them. And stay close to one another. Reach out to one another in the week. Somebody that you know is watching online, hasn't been able to come back, reach out to them and text them, call them, send them a card, whatever. We're trying to do everything we can. Myself, our deacon ministry, they're helping me because
I don't know what I'd do without them. They've just been tremendous, tremendous in help. So reach out to folks. Let them know. If somebody you know has been coming at 8:30 and you miss seeing them, let them know you miss them. It means a lot. And if y'all vice versa, I told them to reach out to y'all late sleepers and y'all reach out to the early sleepers. But anyhow, no, I'm kidding. But do that. It's very important. Encourage somebody. Listen, somebody. Use your social media as an inspirational thing, okay? Use it as an encouraging thing, okay? Do that. And I would encourage you to do that. It's going to make a difference. I would love for things to be different than they are, but we're going to take this thing one day at a time, okay? And know that we love you, and there ain't a thing you can do about it. Amen? All right, Marty, we're going to stand. As we're standing, don't forget offering buckets are in the back and both doors, tithe.ly. Let's continue to give faithfully so we can keep doing what God put us here to do. We're on a mission. Hey, and what I'm thinking about, I almost forgot. Watch your Alabama Baptist this week. There's supposed to be an article about our partnership with Utah. They've called a couple of times, and I've been on the phone with their writers, and they're doing a write-up between us and Derek. They talked to Derek out in Utah, and they've sent me the article. It's a really nice article. There's going to be some pictures in there. You might know some of those mugs in there, but anyhow, do that, and I don't know whether it'll be on the front, the middle, the back, or in between, probably the very last page. I don't know, but here's what I told them, so you'll know. I don't want to do anything to exalt me, but I want to do everything I can to exalt Jesus. And I told them that if they want to do the article, that's fine. But I got two things. One, I want to exalt Jesus in everything we do. And two, I want to encourage other churches, regardless of size, to realize you can be a part of being on mission with God. You can help support church planting in parts of this country where there are no evangelical voices. And there's no excuse for not getting plugged in. So I said, if I can encourage others and exalt Jesus, then we want to do it. And I believe the article that they sent certainly does that. So you look for that this week. Lord willing, it'll be in there. All right? Marty, you sing us out.
At the cross, I sing it out. At the cross, at the cross.